We are now in day 70 of this brutal Bitcoin range. We keep ranging in here, and as we keep ranging, we keep losing the retail investors. In fact, look at this. This chart shows the total YouTube views that channels are getting. And what you can see here is exactly what this tweet says. It says, YouTube views on top crypto channels back to bear market levels, a healthy cool down. And so what you can see is that this sideways movement is shaking out the retail investors. And what that's doing is it's bringing down the price of the altcoins. But what most people don't realize is that this is actually the most important period, because this, when everybody's getting shaken out, is when you should be preparing your portfolios. Also, there are a lot of ways to actually make money in this period. So I'm going to show you exactly when I think this period's going to end, because it is going to end soon. I'm going to show you exactly how I'm preparing my portfolio, and I'm going to show you exactly how I'm making money in this period. So I'm back in South Africa, and we've got a big show ahead of us. So let's get going. Yo. Okay, I'm back in South Africa. Let me know if you're happy to see me in the comments. Smash the like button if you're already subscribed to the channel. If not, subscribe to the channel very quickly. Before we get into the alpha of the day, I've got a big announcement for you, right? You know how much I love educating and how much I love doing schools with Sheldino Tentino. What Sheldon and I have decided to do is we have decided to team up and actually run the next sniper school together. So it's going to be me and him running the trading school. So he obviously taught me how to trade, and what I've learned and combining that with all the fundamental analysis that I know how to do, we're actually going to run a crypto school together. So you can see over here, this is one of the videos that we made recently, well, that we made when...
The best trade I've ever made. 3-4 months into my journey, I did a live broadcast of Banter. There was a guy, 20-something year old, who came to watch. He was a carpenter who invested in a crypto scam, lost his dad to suicide. When I left the event, he said to me, watch these two tokens. Yeah, right, okay. Woke up the next morning, the two tokens are down 100%. I was like, oh shit. How did you know? He said, watch these two tokens. Next morning, I woke up, both tokens down 100%. What do you do? He says, I see the charts. What do you mean you see the charts? Charting is something you have to study. He says, no, I see the charts. He saw angles, he saw trends. It's like a chess player.
3 days later, he gave me a call and he says, I want you to have a show. I said, okay, I'm not used to any of these things. I then did my first show. Community loved it. It was great. It is now 10 months in and we have the biggest crypto live show in the world at this point. I've just entered all-time high. I'm in price discovery. Where we're going next. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
So I'm teaming up with Sheldino Tentino, and we are going to be running a crypto school together. If you want to be part of our school, there are very, very, very limited spaces available for this school. Go to here, this link over here. You see this one here? You sign up with this link over here right now. Let's just see how many days you got. You got 6 days to sign up. 6 days to sign up if you want to be part of the crypto school. It says Sniper School, but it's actually Sniper and Run. We're trying a new experiment together, combining technicals and fundamentals. So if you want to join, do that. And if you do that, of course, you also get yourself a free gummy airdrop. So we decided we are giving gummy airdrop to everybody. All right, now the formalities are out the way. Sign up for school. Let me know if you guys are signing up. I think it's going to be a fucking killer school. I think it's going to be, I can't wait to get back into educating. I just can't wait to get, I love educating. And I get this like 1 hour a day with you every single day. But getting into a class with like 2,000 or 3,000 people and being able to share personal experiences, that is what actually drives me. That's why I phoned Sheldon this morning and I said, Sheldon, do you mind if I actually do the school with you? He said, bro, let's fucking do it. So we are fucking going to go and we are going to do it. Someone says waste of money. It's free. So how is it a waste of money? We're also going to have gummy updates for you. Got some gummy updates for you, big gummy updates for you. We got meme coin updates. I think we're going to talk about the rest of the cycle. And if you want me to categorize the rest of the cycle for you into two words, it's deepen and degen. So if you like deepen and if you like degen, then I guess stick around for the rest of the show. In the meantime, let's get into where we are actually are today. So where are we? Sideways. 70 days of sideways. And as I said to you earlier, this sideways action, what it's doing is it's actually shaking out the retail investors. You can see that, as I said to you, we move sideways. It's not sideways. It's sideways and slightly down, sideways and slightly down. Because if you draw a line here, what you can kind of see is that, it is sideways, but you see the kind of sideways it is. It's not exactly sideways. So we're staying in this range. But the thing is that we're like moving down in this range. And as that happens, the retail investors are kind of losing interest here. And the problem is when the retail investors lose interest, the problem is that the coins that land up suffering are the altcoins. And that's why you have to be very, very, very careful if you're trading altcoins. You need to know exactly what narratives are actually happening. In this sideways movement, what's actually happening is exactly this, what Dan Crypto says. He says, prices bound 15% for the lows on average. People are euphoric and they want all times high next. Prices go down 5%. Okay, the cycle may be done. It's the end of the bull market. You got to be smarter than that. You have to know that consolidation is actually preparation for the next move up. So, I mean, Sheldino Tentino taught me this, and you guys will learn this when you do our school. But generally, when with every upward movement, what lands up happening is you get this consolidation section. And usually when you get the consolidation section, the size of the next move is equal to the size of the consolidation. So generally, if you get that size move in the number of days, generally the next move either goes up or down by that level. Now, if we go up, we're definitely going up past the all-time high. If we go down, it could be quite a severe crash. Let's look at some signs of where we can be going up. So Matthew Halen says, he says, consolidation in an uptrend favors the continuation to the uptrend. And that's really like, if you zoom out and you look at what these uptrends actually look like, so let's just zoom out, just so you guys can see it. So you basically get consolidation. So you get a consolidation over here. Here we go. Here's your first consolidation over here. And then you get a break to the uptrend. And then you get another consolidation over here. And then you get a break. You get a break to the uptrend and a little consolidation here. And you get a break to the uptrend. It's almost like it's moving up in steps. That's generally what a bull market actually looks like. Now, what we're seeing after this consolidation is a few things which are really, really, really showing me that the next move actually might be this move up that I've drawn and not a move down. The first thing that I'm seeing, and probably the most important thing that I'm actually seeing, is the RSI, the stochastic RSI. So we've been using this stochastic RSI as the source of truth. You can see that if you use a stochastic RSI as the source of truth, because remember, the stochastic RSI is the momentum indicator. It's a sentiment indicator. Generally, when this thing breaks under 20, time to buy. And when this thing breaks above 80, time to sell. And you can see, like, if you go historically, if you would have bought here, bang, you would have caught the uptrend. If you would have bought here, bang, you would have caught the uptrend. If you would have bought here, bang, you would have caught the uptrend. If you would have bought here, bang, you would have caught the small uptrend. And so it goes on and on. Here, bang, you caught the uptrend. Now look where we are. We're at the bottom of the RSIs. This tells me that in this consolidation, the next move is going to be an up move. It's not going to be a down move. Right? We can go back down. We can test the 60,000 again. I don't really care. What this indicator is telling me is that the next move is going to be up. Second thing in this consolidation, which I'm actually seeing, the short-term holders have capitulated. So those people with the lettuce hands, not us, the guys that have lettuce hands, paper hands, they're out, they're gone. They've left. Funding rates, if you look at funding rates, green. Remember we used to talk about funding rates. We used to be in this like orange, terrible orange area. Everything's green. Funding rates have reset. In fact, I read this tweet that says funding rates have reset to which levels? The same levels as October 2023. So what do? I read this tweet. I go and look at the charts because I say, okay, funding rates are the same as October 2023. What happened on the charts in October 2023? So I go to 2023. I go to October. Oh, hold on a second. Look what happened. That was the bang before the next move up. So good sign from a funding point of view, funding the same as it was in 2023. What we're also seeing is we're seeing that the USD stablecoin inflow onto the market is up. So you can see that the trend in USD actually flowing into the market. Now, this is the equivalent of liquidity in crypto. So you get global liquidity, which drives risk asset prices up. And then you get liquidity in crypto, which is the stablecoins in the crypto market. And you can see that the stable coins are very much on the up. Remember, when we were at the stable coins on the bottom, we were at $123 million. Let's actually quickly go to DeFi Llama and see if we can find the stable. Here we go. DeFi Llama stable coins. So you can see at the bottom, we were at 123.8. I remember that. Let's just quickly find it. There we go. 123.8. And now if you look where we are, we're at 160. So more and more and more stable coins are actually coming in. Not at an aggressive rate, like the peak of the bull market, but definitely the trend is very good. We have the ETFs turning around. So they were all at outflows. And now look, every single one of them is on inflow. Even GBTC getting inflows. Even GBTC starting to get inflows. So very good sign. Also, what Rect Capital says, it says, if you were looking for the post-halving danger zone, from a time point of view, if you look at it from a time point of view, the post-halving danger zone is now finished. So if we were to follow previous halving cycles, post-halving danger zone is now finished. So we are waiting for Catalyst, and we're waiting for Catalyst to send us in a certain direction. And as I said to you, the direction can be up or can be down. What we do know is that the next move is going to be a big move, because the rule says the longer the consolidation, the bigger the move to the next, in the next direction. So what could be a catalyst for either up or either down in the next couple of days, in the next couple of weeks? So one of the catalysts that could happen is inflation. So remember, on the 15th of May, which is not a long... What's the date today, guys? Today is the 8th. So it's exactly next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we get the inflation numbers, the CPI numbers. We could get a surprise on the way down. If we get a surprise on the way down, baby, it's risk on. It's bull market on. It's you know the drill. I don't have to tell you. This is like, that's when we go bull market on. The second thing that we're seeing now in this market, while this market is moving sideways, we're starting to get disclosures from the funds. Because, you know, like big funds have to make like disclosures all the time about like, listen, what are you holding? You know, like the SEC, all the different SECs around the world. Effectively, they go to the funds. They say, look, you know, what are you holding? What disclose for us what you're holding. And what we're seeing in these disclosures, I want to show you, is we're seeing that big asset managers like the Susquehanna reported owning, they have $429 billion under management. They say they own $831 million worth of Bitcoin across all the 10 ETFs. So you look at that, you say, okay, right now, that's not even 1% of their portfolio, because 1%, what is it? 1%? It is. It's almost two. Is it almost? It's almost. Wait, 429 billion. 1% is 400 million. Yeah. So it's almost 2% of their portfolio is starting to be Bitcoin, and you see they hold it across. Actually, this one says that they got 1.2 billion. So maybe they keep buying. So this Susquehanna is actually buying. We're also seeing Hightower, 130 billion asset manager, now saying that they own 68 million of Bitcoin, which means that they've started buying. Now, if they were to put 2% of their portfolio into Bitcoin, they'd need to put 2.6 billion into Bitcoin. They got 68 million. So you can see that they're actually starting very, very, very slowly to buy. A new $34 billion bank has Bitcoin exposure to IBIT as per the 13F filings. So what you can see is that slowly, 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 the big asset managers are starting to buy. It's not going to happen quickly. Remember that once the ETFs are approved, what happens is they've got to go through like an investment committee. Where should we buy? Should we buy BlackRock? Should we buy this one? Should we buy that one? Then they've actually got to start slowly, slowly buying. So this is like a, you know, like the hype's finished, and now we're starting to get the sustained drive towards Bitcoin. So as I said, we are about to get another move. It can be up and it can be down. The RSI is telling me that the next move must be up, but you know, you can't just trust one indicator. I have shown you that there's a lot of other liquidity into Bitcoin. Hopefully the inflation numbers go down and the funds are actually accumulating Bitcoin. One other thing that I have seen is that the Bank of America says don't sell in May and go away, specifically not in election years. And they're saying basically, look, analysts at Bank of America told investors in early Tuesday not to sell in May and go away. Statistical data shows that the presidential election years can see big. I think you're trying to say big summer rallies, not bug summer rallies. The S&P 500 tends to have a summer rally and presidential election years can see big summer rallies, said the bank. So the bank is telling us that there could be a summer rally. Now, what we're seeing in crypto is we're starting to see a election narrative start to develop. And I want to spend some time talking about this election narrative, because we need to understand where we are. We need to understand what impact the elections can have on the crypto markets and what you need to do. Obviously, one of the things that you can do, because you guys are a bunch of fucking degens, is you, I know you're going to start trading the Tramps, the Bowdens, the Horans, and stuff like that. I know that's going to happen. I know I'm not going to be able to stop you guys from doing that. And to be honest, I think I'm probably going to do some of that myself, is actually trade the Politify meme coins, because as I said, the narrative of this cycle is deepen and degen. And trading the Politify coins is absolutely degen, right? But one thing we can see is that the current Biden administration is trying their very best to isolate the crypto voters. If you noticed, they have been on a rampage in the last couple of days, weeks, against crypto companies. The most recent action that they've taken is they've gone after Robinhood, and they've sent Robinhood a Wells notice. Now, I was quite kind of excited when they sent Robinhood a Wells notice, because I said, look, they send Robinhood a Wells notice, which means that they're going to go and sue Robinhood. That means that Robinhood is going to delist all the coins and make everybody sell all their coins, and Robinhood own a whole list of coins. That isn't going to happen, because what the founder of Robinhood said, Vlad Tenev, he said, look, he said, while we strive to maintain positive and productive relationships with our regulators, if necessary, we will use our resources to contest this matter in court with the intent of defending our crypto business and establishing regulatory clarity in the United States. So the first time Robinhood actually like rolled over to the SEC and delisted the coins, the second time the SEC went for Robinhood, Robinhood said, you know what, we're actually going to fight this for the sake of crypto in the United States and for the sake of our investors. Now they're fighting alongside Brian Armstrong, alongside Uniswap. But what we now know for sure is that the SEC under the Biden administration have an agenda. Their agenda is destroy crypto. Why? Because the person pulling the strings is Elizabeth Warren. Okay? That little whore is pulling the strings and telling Gary Gensler exact. I know this video is going to be banned. There's no need to laugh. We know this. We know we're not going to be friends with YouTube. So the little whore is pulling strings with Gary Gensler, telling him exactly what he needs to do, right? And so she's basically told him, we are running on a non-crypto army. Now, I was just in the US, and sadly, I know they say it's the land of the free, but it's not actually the land of the free. Because in the land of the free, you got the SEC suing. Okay, so they're suing Uniswap. Uniswap saying, we're not an exchange. We don't exchange anything. We're just a piece of software. People use our software to exchange. Then they say, no, you're an exchange. Coinbase says, we are an exchange. They say, no, you're a broker-dealer. Robinhood said, we are a broker-dealer. No, you're as a clearing agency. They need to give regulatory clarity. Someone actually said it pretty accurately. You know what he said? He said, it's like you're driving on a road. Imagine you're driving on a road, and there's no street sign to tell you what the speed of that road is. And then the SEC is like a traffic policeman, basically just handing out tickets. But you didn't tell us, you haven't told us how to drive on the road, and now you are giving us tickets for driving on the road. That's exactly what the SEC is doing. Now, yesterday, I was going to say Chair Gensler, but I can't actually refer to him with a respectful title, because I just think that he's a cat. And you did blow that out, right? So I just think he's one of those. And I think that he's a liar. And yesterday, he was on CNBC and he was interviewed by Andrew Ross Sorkin.
One of the things I wanted to ask you
is, he was grilled about crypto, grilled.
Around what the SEC is doing and what your priorities are, it's hard to tell how much of your focus today is on the stock market writ large versus the world of crypto and trying to figure out the future of Ethereum and other things. How do you see it?
Well, I see it this way. We oversee $110 trillion capital market. About half of that's the stock market. Half, as you might know, is the bond markets, right, and other markets. Crypto is a small piece of our overall markets.
So he's playing it down.
But it's an outsized piece of the scams and frauds and problems in our markets, because without prejudging any one token, much of this field is non-compliant with the protections of our securities laws. And so thus, you end up with like an outsized ratio of journalist questions and crypto journalists to market cap.
But is that a function also of the fact that that's where your attention is too?
No, it's a function of where your attention is. Think about it. I've been
on
your show
blaming the media
a dozen times, And every show, you ask about crypto. And my guessing is this will be a majority crypto interview, while the capital markets are $110 trillion. So it's also about where the financial media is focused.
Well, I want to ask you actually about a whole bunch of things in the classic stock market.
I'm looking forward to it.
But let me ask you this. Vlad Tenev of Robinhood, you delivered a Wells notice to them. I know that you're not going to want to speak directly to them, but I do want to read you, because what's interesting is literally just yesterday he put out a statement effectively attacking you and the SEC. Brian Armstrong from Coinbase said effectively, welcome to the club. I mean, all of this goes on to Twitter.
So that the listeners, American public can understand, we have a really important responsibility as being a cop on the beat. And ensuring that people that are asking you to put your money in to buy or sell securities are following the law, so you get disclosures, that you get certain protections.
Now listen to what he says.
Live,
this is the part that
in court litigation with at least one of those companies, Coinbase, in front of judges at this point in time.
What is the state of play, though, with Robinhood, to the extent that you can discuss it? And for those investors out there who are watching this morning who might have money at Robinhood, what are they supposed to think about these news
reports?
Look,
I can't speak to any one company, but stepping back from it, the field of crypto assets, without prejudging any one of them, many of those tokens are securities under.
So they don't give you guidance about what securities are, and then they sue them for securities fraud. Anyway, I'm not going to play it. It's a 6-minute interview. I don't think we're going to waste 6 minutes on it. What you can see though is that the market's kind of saying, "Look, we don't really care about the SEC anymore." Usually, the price of Robinhood would go down when the SEC gives them a Wells notice. Yeah, you can kind of see the price of Robinhood is up only, and. What Adam Cochrane says is right. He says Gary Gensler doesn't want to. He wants to intimidate these guys. He wants to get penalties from these guys, and so he's going to get a fight now in the court. The CFTC chairman, he basically says there will be a new wave in the next 6 to 24 months of cycle enforcement in the crypto space. Basically, he's saying the SEC is going to carry on destroying the crypto markets. So this is. Where we need to have a heart-to-heart discussion. I just came back from the United States, and I asked people in crypto, because most of the people that I interact with, I asked them, are you a Trump supporter or are you a Biden supporter? Are you Democrat or are you Republican? Who are you going to vote for in the elections? The general answer that I got is, I'm not going to vote. Why? Because I can't vote for Trump. Okay, listen, I get it. You don't like the orange dude. I get it. I'm not mad about him either. But if you don't vote for Trump, or if you don't vote for someone else that is not Biden, the problem is that what you're voting for is you're voting for 4 more years of the same. 4 more years of the same is 4 more years of Gary Gensler. It's 4 more years of Elizabeth the Warren, okay? It's 4 more years of this crap. If they are after Uniswap now and MetaMask and Coinbase and Robinhood, and there's 4 more years of Elizabeth the Warren and Gary Gensler, okay, the U.S. is a big problem. And so I tweeted the other day and I said, look, I don't really care who you vote for. I don't really care what your vote is about. But this time, you have to vote what's good for the big orange coin. And in this election, the orange dude, as the guy here says, is good for the orange coin. And if you don't vote, or if you vote for the other side, you're giving Gunsler and the whore, you're giving them a vote. And what you can see now is that actual senators and congressmen are actually standing up and they're saying, look, we're not going to have this anymore. So Tom Emmer says, these Wells notices seem to be Gary Gensler's desperate, largest attempt to intimidate and antagonize digital asset investors. Congressman John Rose with a similar message. You see that Tom Emmer says,
Chairman Gary Gensler's tenure at the SEC has been characterized by regulatory hypocrisy, inconsistency, and incompetence. The Securities and Exchange Commission's Staff Accounting Bulletin 121, commonly known as SAB 121, is just one example of Chair Gensler's egregious attempts to expand the SEC's authority and his clear bias toward the digital asset ecosystem.
So anyway, there's a vote that's going to be happening around this SAB 121 this week, and hopefully they're going to vote against the SEC here. But this is now starting to really upset a lot of people. And I think what I'm trying to show you is that for the next couple of months, we're getting into election narrative. And what you can see is you can see that the Democrats in general have positioned themselves very much, I'll show you, very much as anti-crypto. So if you look at this over here, what you can see is that these are all the, that's the pending list. Let me take you to the negative list. So all the strongly against, Democrat, 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 Independent, Democrat, 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 all the Democrats, very, very few Republicans are all strongly against crypto. So look, I don't really care about these elections because I don't live there and I don't vote there. But I can tell you that if you're not voting because you don't like Trump, then the problem is what you're actually doing is you're voting for 4 more years of Gary Gensler. Now, I don't think that the U.S. can handle another, that the U.S. crypto markets and the U.S., but and the U.S., and I don't think Joe Biden can also handle another 4 years. But let's say this. If you don't vote, you're giving a vote to Gary Gensler and Elizabeth Warren. You got to be very careful. Now, on that note, our favorite meme in the whole wide world, a meme that's now definitely going to move into the top 5 memes, has made a video summarizing the Biden-Trump situation. I think it's very much worth a watch.
Hello and welcome to Across the Fractured Aisle, our flagship new show where we invite political rivals to come together and discover what unites them, namely their shared humanity. For our inaugural episode, I'm delighted to be joined by two giants of American politics, President Joe Biden and former President Dolan J. Trump. Mr. Presidents, thank you so much for being here.
Fake president. He's a fake president, folks.
Jill, are you there? Where the hell am I?
Gentlemen, I wanted to begin with an exercise. President Trump, I'd like you to tell President Biden something you admire about him.
No way, Jose. That wasn't racist, by the way. I've known Jose a long time, and he's a great guy, really a great friend of mine. But I'm not doing it, Tucker. There's zero I admire about this fake president, believe me.
Mr. President, I'm sure you can find it within your heart to say one kind thing to President Biden.
I would not have agreed to this, Tucker, if I'd known what this was, because this is a rigged interview, a total sham. Okay, well, if you put a gun to my head, which believe me, you won't be able to if this guy steals the election, because he'll destroy your Second Amendment rights, believe me. Joe, it's very impressive that you can walk, barely, at such an old age. For such a weak man, you are very strong. Happy?
Mr. President, I'm going to have to push you on this.
Fine, Joe, you're doing a tremendous job of ruining this great nation, a really tremendous job. And you've been a wonderful father to Hunter, really, father of the year.
And President Biden, can you tell us one thing you admire about President Trump?
Yes, I have all the respect in the world for Mr. Zelensky, and our support is unconditional. Well, I have always admired President Trump's way with the ladies. You've had 3 very beautiful wives. Very attractive women.
That's 3 more than you, Joe.
And you have very lovely hair.
Some say it's the best hair they've ever seen, manufactured right here in America.
I'm sure it smells fantastic.
Sure does, Joe. It's called the sweet smell of success.
May I? You know.
President Trump, would you mind if President Biden had a whiff of those luxuriant locks? I think it would mean a lot to him.
Okay, you can smell it, Joe, but don't come too close. And don't touch. I don't know where those wrinkly old hands have been.
Look at that, folks. A rare moment of tenderness. Mr. Presidents, thank you so much for joining me today for our inaugural.
So the ticker is Tucker. As you know, we're building the meme media station. I love the fact that they're getting involved in all this inflation, in all this election politics. I did actually hear Stan Druckenmiller yesterday on CNBC. And he says that if Biden comes in, he's worried about stagflation. If Trump comes in, he's worried about inflation. Which is quite interesting. He says because of that, he's actually torn and he actually has no candidates. So just listen to what he said here.
And then, Stan, my other question, given that I'm in D.C., I wanted to ask you a political question since we're in election year, is how you see the two candidates as it relates to the markets and to inflation. On one end, I know you've been very critical of this administration, the Biden administration, and how it's approached inflation. On the other end, if former President Trump becomes the president again, of course, I imagine he will not only jawbone the Fed to have lower rates. There's obviously this article in the Wall Street Journal. We've talked a lot about whether it'll have independence in the future. And then there's issues around tariffs and the like on China and whether that'll be inflationary. So how do you measure both of those things?
One of the reasons I'm confused by all this asymmetric talk toward cuts. If Trump were to get elected, I could see a scenario if inflation is not squashed and eliminated by then, where you mentioned it, tariffs, immigration, and animal spirits, because I think business will get very excited with the lack of regulation and the cessation of some of the things I talked about. Inflation actually takes off again the way it did in the 70s. So I'm open-minded. I'm not predicting this, but I'm open-minded to say under a Trump administration, inflation being 6% sometime in 2025. With Biden, I'm more worried about stagflation. With all the government spending, with all the tricks that Yellen's been using to manipulate the yield curve, with the way the Fed seems to have reignited financial conditions, I think the inflationary outcome could be there. But I also fear regulation and everything else preventing productivity.
So he says, look, I mean, I must say again, I'm much more in the Trump camp. I'd rather have higher inflation and good spending than higher inflation and then stagflation, basically, where there's no growth, etc. All right, let's enough macro shit and stuff like that. Let's get into the altcoins. That's why you guys came here. Admit that that's why you came here. And I'm only getting to 25 minutes into the show. So where are we in the altcoins? I mean, this is pretty much where we are in the altcoins. And I said to you, the reason why we are so red in the altcoins is because retail has actually been shaken out by this dip. Now, importantly, if what we're seeing is that not only is retail shaken out of the dip, but also something that I've spoken to you guys about before, which is there's just too many new launches, sucking out too much liquidity out of the market, but at the same time, there's no retail to absorb them. So you almost have the same amount of the same pool of money now being spread over a whole lot of different tokens. And that's quite a dangerous situation. Imagine you've only got like $1 million in the whole market and you keep launching good projects. Eventually what happens is people are going to start cashing out of the existing projects and investing into other projects. That's where we are in the market because the retail investor's not in. But that's not where we're going to be forever because very soon we will actually get the next spike up. It's almost inevitable. It's happened in every single bull market. We've always had this lull for a while until something happens, and usually what happens is the catalyst in the Bitcoin price, and then we go straight into alt season. So what you got to be doing during this part of the lull is you got to make sure that you guys are well positioned and your portfolios are well positioned. Now, you know that we published our top 10 conviction plays. I added a new one. Base.ai is one of my, I mean, it's one of my AI plays here. I also added Peak and D-Bridge, and we'll talk about D-Bridge in a couple of seconds, but I also added Peak. And the reason why I added Peak is because I think the next part of the cycle is actually going to be like I don't think we're going to get a normal cycle anymore. I don't think we're going to get this like Bitcoin, then Ethereum, then large cap alt, and then small cap alts. Because as this tweet over here says, we used to buy Bitcoin, buy ETH, buy large caps, and then buy mid caps, and then watch the money trickle through and pump. Now, we do something different. We analyze the Bitcoin price. We look for trends. And then we look to see if there's a meme, an RWA, or a deepen that is actually fits into those trends. So I think that if I were to analyze what's going to happen in the next part of the cycle, I think it's like two words. It's deepen and degen. That's pretty much how I see the next part of the cycle. I don't see a world where people start going back into ETH. In fact, to be honest, I don't own much ETH. And the little ETH that I own, I'm probably going to sell and put 100% into Solana. And I'll show you like in a second why I'm going to do that. So step one, I've created this watch list. These are my 10 highest conviction coins for the cycle. Nothing's changed. Arweave is still my number one. Solana is my number two. Ton is my number three. A lot of people are starting to wake up to Ton now. Telegram, Near, Rune, Sui, Phantom, Pendle, Based, Gear, Tooka, Gummy. We'll talk about Gummy in a second. There's a lot happening. Peak and D-Bridge. And Peak, D-Bridge, and Bob are my three that don't have tokens, but will actually start flying. So, as I said to you, I think that now we're going to have a narrative where it's all about deepen and degen. Now, when it comes to deepen, one, we had a big render announcement. I don't know if it wasn't really a render announcement, but Octane was featured during Apple's keynote speech. And that's why Render actually had a good pump. Now, even though Octane is not exactly with a token, what you can see, it is using the Render network. So that's why we had Render having a good pump. You saw that in the last couple of days. In fact, if you go to the bubbles and you go to the weekly, I'm sure Render's quite a big 36% this week. Are we 37% this week? So just look at it. I'm trying to show you something. So I've just gone to the bubbles on the 1 week and I've gone into our narratives here. Are we Solana, Telegram? Now let's go back here. Biggest bubbles here. Are we Solana over here? Telegram. Now Render is one of them. Rune is another one of them, also on our top 10. So you can see that in terms of choosing the narratives, we're actually quite spot on the money in choosing the narratives. I also think that in the spirit of deepen, there is a deepen chain which is launching, which is called Peak Network. Now, Peak Network is built in Substrate. Substrate is the same framework that Polkadot is actually built in. And the reason why Substrate is so good is because it allows a lot of chains to actually connect together. And so what Peak's going to do is it's going to allow for all these deepen projects to connect to a shared deepen infrastructure. And they've already got all these projects. Now, again, I'm not saying ape in when it launches. I'm an investor. Yeah. I've got to be honest with you guys. I made an investment in Peak, quite a high valuation, but I'm in. The reason why I want to do that is because I want exposure to all these deepen projects, because I think the narrative is going to be deepen plus degen, right? Next one that's launching soon is IONET. IONET is the GPU, shared GPU narrative. That's another one that we're watching. So that's the deepen. In terms of the degen, I think I agree with Ansem, where he says, we may be heading for a Solana cycle and a meme coin super cycle. So on the one hand, Solana cycle. On the other hand, a meme coin super cycle. Super interesting today. You know, we're launching Baked. The only way to get Baked is to stake your gummy, and you're actually going to get Baked. The staking is going to launch. Josh, when is the staking going to launch? Friday. Friday, we're going to launch the staking. It's going to be on memestaking.com. It's not there. If you go now to memestaking.com, Josh hasn't put up the coming soon sign because he said that.
It's going to be up today.
He keeps saying that. Anyway, when we ask people, should we launch Baked on Base or should we launch it on Solana? 100% of the vote said that we should launch Baked on Solana. It just shows you that the meme coin narrative is very much staying with Solana. So one of the other things you can see is that Pump.fun, which is a protocol which allows people to launch a token instantly, has actually outperformed Uniswap and Binance and Base Chain in terms of fees. So this meme coin thing ain't going away. As Ryan Selker says, he says, meme coins are more likely to acquire your venture-backed business than any company at this point. I'm not kidding or exaggerating. There are more than twice as many 100 million meme coins than crypto strategic exits. Just shows that all the attention is now at meme coins. Now, as I've said before, in order for any protocol to be successful in crypto, a protocol needs to have three things. It needs to have casino, technology, and religion. Those are the three things if you want to be successful in the crypto ecosystem. Now, some chains come to market and they only have technology. Example, Starknet. They have no casino, no adrenaline, and no religion because they have no community. They ain't going to succeed. The meme coins are coming in from the other side. They're coming in from the other way around. And so what you're getting is you're getting them coming in with casino, because meme coins are like a fucking casino, and community or religion. And then they've got to find their technology. With Tooker, we're creating a meme-powered media station. With Gummy, we're creating a mechanism because we know that Gummy is what we've called the highest community in the world. In other words, they're the most engaged community in the world. We're going to find ways to get people to tap into the most engaged community in the world and basically airdrop them stuff. And so that is how communities land up finding their thing. What you can see is that, by the way, Tooker is now in the top tokens in Phantom, in the whole of Solana ecosystem. Tooker is number five, which is, you got to say that that's absolutely amazing. There's another narrative coming up on meme coins, which is this whole country-fine narrative, flags of different countries. Why? Because there's a whole lot of international sports matches. There's the Euro 2024. And obviously their L-Bot is their mascot, and so now there's an L-Bot token. So you got to look for all of these things. You got to look for all of these narratives which are about to happen in the meme coin narrative. So that's why I agree with Ansem when he says, look, it's going to be a meme coin summer and it's going to be a Solana summer. And the reason why I think it's going to be meme coins and Solana is because the truth is, no matter which metric you look at it on, Solana just beats everyone. And that's why when you look at the performance, Solana versus Matic, Solana versus ETH, Solana versus DOT, Solana versus Bitcoin, Solana is basically creaming them all, basically. And so, like, for me, Solana, meme coins, I think I agree with Ansem on this narrative. I mean, Solana really beats all the other blockchain on any narrative that you can look at, whether it's users, fees, daily transactions. Solana is definitely the winner. So for me, I think I'm going to sell the rest of my ETH and actually land up buying a lot more Sol. The next thing is, if you look at their phone, their first phone got like 2,000 orders. Their second phone got like 130,000 orders already. So you can see that like they're starting to make headway on their phone. I don't know if you saw this, but this is a thing called Clone Protocol. Clone allows you to trade assets that aren't on Solana, such as Doge, Arbitrum, Optimism, seamlessly with low fees without needing to bridge. In other words, you can basically soon going to be able to trade any other token using Solana, using this Clone Protocol. Because I think what it is like a bridge. And it basically, if you want to buy Doge, it's basically bridges Doge, but you landed up buying it on Solana. And that way you can trade all assets actually on Solana. The other one that is that's quite interesting on Solana is a sponsor of ours. It's a marketplace for real world assets, specifically art. So it's called arttrade.app. And essentially what they do is they allow the painter to create an NFT of his art or her art. And then you can fractionalize it, you can sell it, you can have a blockchain token that represents the real world assets. So this is another way of getting real world assets onto the actual chain using this protocol, which is called Arttrade, arttrade.app. I actually saw it. It's very, 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 very impressive, I must say. The use cases of it are absolutely impressive. So if you are an artist, then that's something that I want you to look at. Okay, now listen, I want you guys to pay attention. Pay attention. I need your help here. And not only do I need your help, I'm going to help you get an airdrop and help you get money. How many times have you wanted to make a degen trade, either on Solana or on Ethereum, and you haven't had money on Solana or you haven't had money on Ethereum? And you've needed to get money from Solana to Ethereum or Ethereum to Solana. Let me know in the chat how often that's happening. So I've got a massive, massive, massive offering for you guys. Listen up, listen up, listen up. There is a protocol called DBridge. DBridge is a bridge that allows you to send any token from any chain to any token on any other chain. So let's say that if you want USDT, let's say that you have USDT on Ethereum. So you go to Ethereum and you go to USDT and you want to send that to USDC on Solana, okay? On Solana. You can use this protocol called DBridge. This is the bridge that I use to do all of my transferring, okay? So what you'll notice, this is for me the best bridge to move tokens from one chain to another chain. I always use this. This is the only one that I actually use. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Number one, you can see that they've got points here. You can start farming points if you start using DBridge. And that way, when they do an airdrop, because points equals airdrop, you're going to get an airdrop. But more importantly, if you use this DBridge chain, this link over here, there's a link here. Use this link. Go now and use this link to link up your wallets here. If you use this link, you will also get a gummy airdrop. So now you're going to get if you use this link specifically to sign up your wallet to DBridge, every time you do, you not only get a percentage of their token drop, you also get a percentage of a gummy airdrop, $1 million worth of gummy tokens. So again, you have to use this link over here. Otherwise, you're bridging. So now from now on, when you want to bridge, use this link over here. Not only will you get points, which will equal airdrop, but also you will get 1% of gummy. So just do it. Again, this is for me the best bridge in the whole world in terms of bridging money from one chain to another. And it's quick. It's super, super, super quick. And it's cheap. It's very, very, I think it's like 0.4 bips or something. It's like crazy. Now, I want you guys to go and show them the power of the Banter community. Go and sign up. Whenever you use the bridge, you guys will get points, both gummy points and other points. All right. I want to just give you two other bits of great fucking news, which I want to talk to you about. or actually, first of all, when it comes to Ethereum, as I said, I've written off my Ethereum. I'm not buying any more Ethereum. I am buying L2s. Specifically, I'm looking at the Optimism because they've got this like super chain network. And then I don't know if you guys saw, but I posted in Frontrunners. Frontrunners is our Discord. I posted that Eternity may announce a layer two, but I posted it one day before because I didn't have any inside information. I just got a, I got one of those signals from above, from the birdies, when they go bleep, 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 bleep. And then you know, oh shit, there's news coming. And then like half an hour later, bang, the token spikes 30%. I told everyone, look, there's a spike coming. This was on the Frontrunners, which is our Discord. Now, our Discord is closed. We're not taking on any more people. But if you want to be on the waiting list, we may take in more people. Click that link over here and go to the waiting list. And when you get there, that is just sign up. I'm not promising you'll get in, but I am promising you, you will be on the waiting list. I promise you that. Okay, cool. I want to show you one more thing. One more thing, which is quite a big thing. So there was an announcement. You need to understand this announcement because it's probably one of the most important, if you're a trader, it's one of the most important announcements that I don't know if you guys understood. And I want to show you this announcement, and we're going to talk about this announcement, and we're going to be the first to bring it to our community. This is the announcement. The announcement says that Athena Labs is excited to share that one of the most important developments for USDE adoption to date will be integration into Bybit Official. Collateral to trade perpetuals while potentially capturing yield, BTC spot pairs with zero trading fees, and within the Earn platform. Can I know this sounds like a mouthful, but I need you to understand what's actually going on here. Athena is a stablecoin. It's a stablecoin that is delta neutral, that is created using delta neutral positions on long and short on perps. Don't worry about that. What you need to know is that right now, you can earn huge yield on Athena. Why? Because you're earning points for holding the Athena protocol. Plus, on top of that, you're earning crazy yields. You can earn up to 70% yields by just holding your Athena. Now, what Bybit is actually doing is actually kind of revolutionary. Because they're saying, look, usually you deposit USDT into an account and you use that USDT as collateral to trade Bitcoin and ETH, right? Or whatever you're trading. Now, you're going to be able to use USDE, which is the Athena USD, and you're going to be earning up to 70% APY on your collateral whilst you're trading. So if you open a Bitcoin long position, while you're holding the long position, not only are you making the profits on the long position, but you're also making 70% or so just by holding the USDT. I mean, do you understand the mindfuck here? Usually, when you put your USDT in Bybit and you trade your Bitcoin or your ETH or your favorite other security, your favorite other token, it was a slip, okay? Fuck's sake. I'm not on their side. So you're not earning any yield. Now you will be earning yield on your principal while also earning the money on the profits that you're actually making. Do you understand how big this is? It's huge for Athena. Why is it huge for Athena? Because it shows real adoption. It can become the currency of choice in the crypto game. So if you're an Athena fan, this is like a massive, massive, massive thing. But for us, it's much, much, much more important. It's much more important that we actually start using these USDEs. Why? Because while you are holding the USDEs or your position in USDE, you're gaining up to 70% in APR and in points. And I'm going to spend a lot more time as soon as they launch. I think they said they're going to launch tomorrow or Friday. And I'm actually going to show you guys how to trade this. In the meantime, I have to just remind you that there is $1.5 million of Gummy airdrop that is happening in 23 days, okay? You have 23 days left on the Gummy airdrop on Bybit. And there's $1.5 million. Now, you need to open an account. You need to deposit $100 to be eligible. Otherwise, too many people are opening accounts with bots. Guys, I looked this morning. There's like not a lot of accounts. That means that the airdrop's going to be shared by very few people, $1.5 million. My suggestion is go and open an account, deposit $100. Now, if you deposit $100 and you trade $500, you stand a chance. You will automatically get $100. Not win, you will get $100. So open an account on Bybit, deposit $100, you're eligible to get Gummy. If you trade $500, you automatically, it doesn't, tell the guy who wrote this, that it's not win, It's get. You just get it. It just appears into your account. And you need to have a Bybit account because, as I've said to you, I'm going to show you in the next 2 days when they actually launch this. I don't know when they're going to launch this, today, tomorrow, the next day, whenever they launch this. I'm going to show you how to actually earn 70% or so yield whilst holding Bitcoin positions, okay? We're the first channel that's going to do it. We have the biggest Bybit base. So we're the first channel that's going to show our channel actually how to use this thing. So my suggestion is go and get a Bybit account now. Put $100 into a Bybit account. Trade $500, you'll automatically get $100 for free into your account, okay? Someone says impossible, Ryan. We live in restricted areas. Oh, VPN. That was just a joke. No one would ever use a VPN. You could never, ever, ever use a VPN to bypass exchange legislation. It's impossible. You should never try it otherwise. You should also never try it. Okay, listen. The show's getting very long. I'll show you one more thing. There is a little bit of good news for crypto. I don't know if you saw this, but FTX customers are starting to get their refunds. They say they're getting 100% plus interest. It's not exactly 100% because if you had a Bitcoin, they take the Bitcoin at like $20,000 when it went insolvent. But in the next 60 to 90 days, FTX people will start getting their money back. When they do, that means more money into crypto. When there's more money into crypto, where are they going to put the money? Into Gummy, into Biden, into altcoins. They're not going to take it out of it. Although one thing I did notice was that the FTT holders think that they're getting some of the money, okay? Like, I don't know why they think this, but they think they're getting some of the money, clowns. So this meme coin bounced from $168 to $2. So every time it does it, I'm short. So I'm now short. I'm very short on this. Very, 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 very short on this. All right, listen, I will see you guys again tomorrow. I hope you had fun, yeah? If you did, let me know. If you didn't enjoy the show, also let me know. See you tomorrow. Until then, we hope that Josh will put up the poster on the website that says coming soon. Trade well, my friends.